because we know God is the architect, he's the engineer, he's the designer, he's the creator of the new heaven, and he's going to make it large enough for everybody that he wants in heaven to be there. So, or everyone that will be there, he will have it big enough. So, anyway, that's our explanation. Moving on from math class, we can, any questions on that other than why did you waste our time? That's a valid question, by the way. Okay, let's pray and we can get started on today's lesson, which we're going to start into Revelation 22, and we're still going to take a look at the description of the new heaven and the angelic description here of what it's like and according to Revelation. And then next week, hopefully we can finish up with the warnings and kind of summarize what we did not cover in our end time eschatology, which it will be really brief on each topic because there's a lot that we did not cover. We've got a long, I mean, this our study of Revelation, in my opinion, I've put a bunch of time into this. It's just beginning, though, so that's the way I see it. There's so much more to look at it and such more that will be revealed as we come along here. So, but this is sufficient for us for now. So it's as in the first, which we kind of skipped over in Revelation 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." So keep that in mind. It's nothing to shy away from when we look at the end time eschatology, because we have a blessing that's given as long as we study the truth here. So with that, let's pray and we can get started here. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for all of the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for your word that we can study. Thank you that we can still study. We pray that your will be done, that you keep us safe and in your will, and that we can proclaim the true gospel as we go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Revelation 22. We're going to pick it up there, and we will. Let's start in, if I have someone to read, we'll just pick it up piece by piece. Verse 1 and 2, if we could have someone volunteer to read verse 1 and 2. Jim's got it here. So here's another picture of what John is seeing in this, what the angel is showing him of the new heaven. And he shows this river of water of life. It's clear as crystal. So it's not really water. Again, we're not in our what we think of our hydrological, physical world here. We're in, but we do have this clear, clear water. It's water of life is the term here. It is coming directly from the throne of God. So, all of the life-giving elements that's coming into Jerusalem come directly from God. And like we discovered on the streets, the walls, at the base of the walls. Everything seems to be clear to reflect the true picture and the beauty that God has for us, for us. The water is a kind of a symbolic. It's kind of symbolic that says that all life, as we know it, has to have water. Okay, so we have that. And then in the middle of the street, as it's referred to, which is kind of Another translation would be in the middle of the stream of this pathway of the, and that's kind of what the word is, a pathway of this water, is the tree of life. And again, that's to the Jewish mind, that's a symbol of the tree of that was in the garden, isn't it? Let's see, where am I here? We have that similar to the Garden of Eden. Again, it was in the center, right there. That's part of the part of our picture here, part of our living, what it is, and in that tree of life, and it bears 12 fruits for every month. Again, eternity isn't couched in terms of months, but that is couching the fruit of this tree and what we can understand, because we understand 12 months. We don't understand eternity like we will. We'll have a whole eternity to understand that, won't we? I think we'll understand it immediately, though, at that point. The fruit, is there an indication that we need to eat as once we are in heaven? I think the answer is, yeah, what? That's, yeah, exactly. We would eat, maybe we don't need to eat there, but if it's enjoyment. So I don't have to go through the buffet line and say, maybe I better take the dessert first because the rapture could happen, because we're going to have something to eat there in heaven, right? Okay. But I digressed. I'm sorry. There's also another place that we see. Yeah, that was in Luke 24, 42 to 43. Just so you know, let's just take a look at that here real quickly. Luke 24. We're also going to look at the angels ate with Abraham and Sarah back in Genesis too. 24. Not that we will be angels, we will be like the angels in heaven, as we saw a few weeks ago. Luke 24, 42. I'm sure this is familiar passage with everybody. And this is after his resurrection. Let's pick it up at 41. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" This is Jesus speaking. So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Also in Acts, he's dining with some other people that he referred that he made manifest to himself. Acts 10:41. If you want to look at that, why don't we look at that here? 40. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, this is the witnesses speaking, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Okay, so yes, the Christ did this, the angels ate with Abraham, that's back in Genesis. And so apparently we will have a fruit from this tree that is in the middle of the pathway of this water, this stream that looks like a stream here. It looks like a river. It's coming directly from God. Yes, Mike. with coal. Okay. It's a different topic, but yes, we'll cover that when we get into our global warming hoax conference. What would Jesus try? Okay, we'll cover that in our global warming hoax Sunday school class next Sunday here, or next summer. But okay, glad for that comment there. Let's see now, where are we? We are in the middle of the street, the tree of the life. Okay, and oh, the leaves. The leaves are for healing of the nations. That's not an indication that anybody's going to be sick in heaven, because we all know that the sin, the curse, we're going to read the curse is no longer there. We will have no death in heaven, no sore backs, and but it's more of the life-giving leaves from this tree that's in the middle of the pathway of this stream that's coming directly from God. Okay, so maybe that's what keeps us from getting, well, that keeps us all together anyway, but it's not I'm going to get the flu here like so many young people, so many people, this especially this last few weeks, have been coming down with fevers and colds and flus. Well, we won't be getting that, but that's more of the definition there of the will keep us from the healing of the nations, what that's meaning. So, okay. Now let's pick up. Let's go right on to verse 3, and see what verse 3 has to say for us. A volunteer, Delbert. Well, that explained no more curse, no more death. The throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Now, let's analyze that. Who are the servants that we have here? I look down. We're going to jump ahead for just briefly here to verse 9, and we're going to see that John falls down again and tries to worship the angel. But the angel said in verse 9, "See that you do not do that, worship him. For I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book." So John is a fellow servant. The brethren of the prophets, those who have been giving prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. That's going to have to be our definition, included in our definition of who is a Christian, isn't it? Those who keep the words of this book. Not those who go to church, not those who say this prayer and then go off and do some other things. It's those who keep the words of this book. So that's who the fellow servants are. So that ought to, except for my hypothetical friend over here, my imaginary friend, Straw Man, I'm going to exclude him, but that is what we want to make sure we are, is the fellow servants that fit in that, because, well, we won't be there if we're not serving him, or if we're not fellow servants. But we will serve him. We've also read someplace that God will serve us too. Where did I write that down here? There is a place. I might run across that here later, but we're going to be serving each other, but primarily we get the service. We will be serving him. That's what we would be doing in eternity. What else can I say on that? That's who the servants are. Well, let's go on to verse 4 then. And let's read verse 4 and verse 5. Maybe we can pick that up. That volunteer, John. Okay, we got a lot packed in there. They, which are the servants, which includes us, will see his face. Now, there are several references to those who have seen God, but not his face. Go back to Isaiah 6, 1 to 5. Isaiah would be one, but he don't think he saw his face. If I can find Isaiah 6. Is that 1 to 5? Yeah, let's just do I have a volunteer for 6, 1 to 5? Yeah, Pastor Joe. Okay, so Isaiah, so I'm, of course, the seraphim is, with six wings, is somewhat of an order of the angels. The angels have not fallen, of course. And the angel appears to be covering his eyes. But Isaiah saw the Lord there. Doesn't say that he saw his face, but he did see, and what a sight that would have been for him, too. Another place... Of course, well, we won't go there. Exodus, Moses wanted to see God, and God said, okay, I will pass before you, but you're going to hide in this this cave, or that you will not, yeah, what was that? The cleft, yeah, that you won't see me until I pass, because if God told Moses, if you see my face, you will surely die. Okay, so... And also in, well, there's a few other places, but look back to 1 John 4:12. 1 John, that's not too far back here. 1 John chapter 4. No. What am I? 1 John 4:12. Oh, that's 2 John. 1 John. 12, I'll pick it up at 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Oh, did I get the right one here? I'm in 5, aren't I? Yeah, 4:12. Very good. 4:12. No one has seen God at any time if we love one another, okay? No one has seen God. Well, I guess Isaiah saw him. Moses saw, got a glimpse of him, but did not see the face of God. Now, if you look at 1 John 3, 2, and 3, I think that I wrote that down. Obviously, I had a reason. Let's go find out if I had a reason for that. 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. 1 John 3. Beloved, now, correct me if I'm in the right place. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay, so the picture is we will be like him in knowledge. We will not be God, of course. Don't read that one into it. But we will see him, Jesus, as he is. So... that's some of the picture that's kind of coming together in my mind where we are at the at verse 4. Of course, there'll be no night and day, or there'll be no night, no need of that because we have the light of God. When I was younger, I had that issue in our creation process. We had light created before the sun and the moon. In my feeble mind, I'm saying, well, how can that be? We get our light from the sun. Wrong. We got our light then from God. And the sun was created later. So don't get that confused like I did. But in this case, we have the light from God. There's no need to have a lamp. Again, there's no need. Everything's going to be clear. I don't believe we'll have anything to hide at that point. But because everything's transparent, where we will be then. So, but then it also says, "We shall reign forever and ever." Or they, who are the servants. Didn't we say that God and the Lamb will reign forever? 2 Timothy 2:12. This is a faithful saying. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. I, in the past, have looked over that first part. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. We will be like him, so we'll be joining in on the reigning in the heaven here. But it is all God, of course. But Paul's writing with God's inspiration says, for those who endure, we shall also reign with him. So that, I think, is our meaning there. So that's what life is going to be like. We will be carrying out his unlimited tasks that he has, and we will enjoy it. And we must enjoy it. So, okay, with that, we've gone through verse 5, verse 6. Any questions at this point that I might not be able to answer? Let's go on to 6 then. Yes. Verse 30. Did I have that written? Wait. Luke? Let's go look at that here. Luke 22, verse 30. Luke. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yes, chapter 12, which we kind of glossed over in our class here. So, yeah, that's the part that we need to go back and fill in some of these things. But we did our summary, and now we're going to do the closing. And I'm glad you bring that up there, Walt. But we will be there at his table. Okay, it's his table, and that's where some of the other quote unquote religions go off bases that they think they can be. When they see we will be like him, we'll have our own table and world to rule. No, it's his world, and we will be with him ruling together. So, but he's the one, we're joining him at his table. Good point. Okay, now, yes. Oh. 22. Hold on here. Let's clear this up here right here. Luke 22:30. Because we will be judging the 12 tribes there. Yeah. Okay. That may be the millennial, but I think it's going to carry over. Okay. When you look at Revelation 20, verse 4, it's the same language. But anyway, we're going to be at his kingdom, his table. So I was hoping to get into the Olivet Discourse, which I'm not going to this time. Maybe next year. Maybe next year I can. But that is a lot of that is referring to what's going to happen in the tribulation period. But I think we can look at that as a picture of what's leading up to the tribulation period too. Just like this being in the millennial kingdom, as we discovered, no one goes into the millennial kingdom unless they're saved. However, those few that go in their mortal bodies will be, as I see it, there'll be a whole lot of procreating going on, okay? A whole lot of begotten going on, and there'll be a lot of people that will be born in that millennial kingdom. As I understand it, no one is going to die during that millennial kingdom. Could be wrong. We'll find out. I plan on being there in my resurrected body, but not in the mortal body. But as we see at the end of the millennial kingdom, the number of people that go astray, that do not take Christ as their Savior during that period of time, will be as the number as the seas on the sand. So there's going to be a lot of people that when he does return at the end of the millennial kingdom, they will be killed and join all of those others that are not going into heaven at the great white throne judgment, and that's where they, when and where they get cast into the lake of fire forever. So, okay, good reviews on all of this stuff here. Where are we in this period of time here? But yes, that's our reigning will be with him, and because of his reigning. So, now are the we're ready for verse 6. And how far do I want to read here? 6 and 7. Now let's read 6 and 7 together. Do I have a volunteer? Delbert, let's do that. Okay, there's several places where I see faithful and true or true and faithful. As I see it, that's just a statement telling John, this is true. Don't doubt us. Don't doubt me. This is true. What you've got in front of you is true. Now, John had to write what no person has ever, write and describe what no person has ever seen or will see until this time. So can you imagine trying to write something that is just completely, you have no clue on this. So, but what we know is that what he wrote accurately describes what he's going to see. It may not have everything that he had to see, but it won't have anything that contradicts what truth is. Okay, what he saw, what he wrote down, will not contradict anything. So we may have a piece of the puzzle yet to be seen, is what I would profess here, but it will be exactly as it fits into the puzzle here. Okay, so that's what I see as faithful and true. Okay. And he's sending the Lord God is sending his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. They have to. Now, shortly take place, and then the next verse says, behold, I am coming quickly. Two meanings I see in the word quickly is it's going to happen imminently, it's going to happen shortly, you know, like tomorrow maybe, or when it happens, it's going to happen like that. Now, John actually, when you read him, he thought he would be, it indicates that he thought he might be in those group that would be raptured. That's almost 2,000 years ago. So if that's in the definition of quickly, yes, that applies. But also, when it does happen, I can see where it would be immediately. When things happen, they will happen immediately. But I'm not going to discount the concept that shortly could mean within 2,000 years. So, but it does give, because it gives us a call for four responses. And we'll pick this up here. We'll see this as we go through these next few verses. We're going to see our response is to be obedient and to worship the God, the one true God, and our proclamation that we're going to proclaim God as Lord, and then our service, that what we, our response to be in service to Him. So we'll see that when we come forward, because we are going to see, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. So keeping the words, what does that mean? What's keeping Jesus' words or God's words? Not that we have to follow the Ten Commandments, but we want to. That we want to follow his commandments of what we're supposed to do, how we behave. Again, it's not that we say a prayer and then we go off and live and on our own and we don't look at him as our Lord and Savior. So we're going to follow his words. And then in verse 8, we're going to see... we're going to do 8 and 9 here together. I'll just read them. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. And then in one sentence he says, worship God. Now, I'm kind of thinking the angels may be without emotions because this is the second time that John was told, don't worship me, worship God. You would think that if an angel had emotions, he would say, worship God. Come on. Because don't worship me. You'd see an exclamation point there, wouldn't you? But he just said, worship God. And so he's, now John is like, I am a slow learner because back in just 19, chapter 19, 9 and 10, it said 9, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. Now there is an explanation point there in my Bible. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Testimony, Jesus' testimony. So one, we're told we have we are fellow servants with the angels. We won't be angels. That might be where people get confused of someone dying and becoming an angel. No, they will be fellow servants. We are told, this is the second part, we worship God. We're told, John is told to, and which is telling us too, that we're to worship God only. And then we read on in 10, and he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, well, let me see, let's stop right there. The prophecy, don't seal up this book. Proclaim it as truth. So we don't just, okay, we read that and then close it up and go merrily on our way here. We're supposed to be proclaiming that. And then the time is at hand. Again, that's kind of an indication that it's just around the corner, isn't it? Which, again, 2,000 years is kind of just around the corner in God's time. And then in verse 11, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. So those that are not allowed into heaven because they have not seen themselves as sinners and repented, they will remain unjust because by this point, if we're following this in chronological order, Those people have already been cast into the lake of fire, and that's where they will be for eternity. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. I said that, and I need to back up there. That could be a word to us right now as we're receiving this prophecy. Are we going to remain filthy? Are we going to remain unjust? Or are we going to turn from our sinful ways and become righteous? This country we know has, well, my opinion is that this country has already been turned over to itself. This country is a Romans chapter 1, I think starting in 28. It has been turned over to itself. And I see that as kind of a correlation of what's happened and the nation's point of view, but also with the people that are, with each individual person. So, angels. No, I'm not going to go there. I think I'm going to stop right there. And any questions, comments? Any other correlations? John?
About the exclamation point.
Yeah.
There was no punctuation in the manuscripts, original manuscripts.
Yeah, okay. So that could be a translation issue. But, Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Of course, yeah, I see both sides. Well, that'll be an interesting thing to see, too. Will we have those emotions? Do we need those emotions in the eternity in heaven? Because there is no one that's going to be not following God, is there? So we don't have somebody coming up and chastising me for not behaving correctly. That's never happened, by the way. I just throw that. Well, maybe it has. I got a wave here from Charla. there won't be any need of that, because when I see him, I will be like him, and all of that, you know, I'm going to be in service. It's not that I have to be, it's that I want to be. It's, for example, when our grandkids have their Christmas program, and it's not that I'm looking around going to find, well, where's a Christmas program that I can watch? I want to go to watch them, because that brings me pleasure to see them performing for God. And I got to watch what I say here in front of them. I say, oh, I got to go to this Christmas pageant. My grandkids are there. No, it's I want to, and I do want to. I just got to watch what I say on that. So I see that as kind of a simple-minded, which is what I am, a simple-minded person's explanation of what we would be looking at here. So any other comments, John, or anybody else?
Pastor.
Speedily.
The idea of when he comes, it's going to be fast.
Yeah, and those are the two things that I see. I mean, that's one of them that I see when I'm trying to read through this, is that when it comes, it's going to be like that, isn't it? But what is also, I'm reading this as John was, when he writes, he's under the, or was it Paul? I'm confused here. One wrote that they indicated that they are, what they wrote, they might be in the rapture. Well, that's almost 2,000 years ago, and obviously that's not the case. So, because once a person dies, they won't be raptured, but they will be caught up into the air right before the rest of the people that will be raptured. So, that's our understanding. Any other comments here? We're about to the close here. I'm sure I left a few things out here, but that's what we'll be picking up. Maybe I might hit them and catch. Yes, Walt. At that time, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. It's exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when he does, when the at different times here, when he comes to earth is at the end of the millennial kingdom. When he shows himself at the rapture, it's those that are raptured have completely been sealed that will be going to heaven. Okay, those that are left, as we said earlier, the highest probability is that they will be deceived and they will take the mark of the beast, and their destination will be sealed at that point, at the end of the millennial reign, and that is, as we see it, when Christ actually comes to earth. Okay. Yeah, and for the final judgment there. Then, where was I going with this? I was going someplace with it, Walt, and I'm looking at you, and I just, boom, where did I go to? So I might pick up that thought next Sunday here, but he will come. Oh, yeah, when at death is also another time's upturn in your paper point here, right? When we take our final breath on this earth, our destination is sealed also at that point. You might say that is the meaning of life, we're given this gift of life, but what is the meaning of life here? Everybody's been asking that question forever, for 6,000 years anyway. That is definitely part of it, is where our destination will be sealed. Okay. Any other questions? We're beyond time here. So let's close in prayer and we'll get ready for church service. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this study that you've given us. We thank you for the book that you've given us, and the blessing that you offer to read and study and to see that your truth is true, that your word is truth, and that what is prophesied that will happen, will happen. We ask that you guide and direct us today, and we ask that you continue to that your will be done, and that we can be a part of your plan and do our part to serve you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.